We're going to have the Ecuador team up here in 1 minute, but before I do, I want to read a passage to us. In Ezekiel 36, this is what it says. They're talking about what this passage is about. It's what God's saying that he's going to be doing for his people Israel. It's this really cool promise prior to Christ coming. This is obviously about Jesus coming. And he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. This morning, we really just want to take a minute and glorify God and lift him up through hearing the testimonies of the work that God's doing in some of our lives. And so I'm going to invite the team to come up and, just 1 second. I'm going to invite the team to come up. But really, I think that God really desires to transform us, to change us more into his likeness, to change us more into his image. And so this morning, that's what we just want to praise him for, is that God is putting his new heart in us. He's making our desires, he's putting his desires into our hearts. And I think that takes a little bit of work on our part. I think it takes an openness and a submission to God to let him do those things. And so I know for some of the people that have gone to Ecuador, it was a little bit of a tougher decision this year. For some people, they were really excited about it. But at the same time, there's always difficulties, and there's always kind of moments where the team or individuals needed to submit and just allow God to start changing them. And so I'm going to invite them to come up now. You guys can make your way up here. We have 3 team members missing this morning, which means there's 7 of us. Feel free to give them a round of applause. We can clap. This is a... So I'm going to... Basically, what we want to highlight this morning, we're not going to talk super in-depth about what we were doing. We don't have pictures for you. We're just really talking about what God's been doing in our lives personally. And we just want to testify to that and give testimony to God's working. And so there's 3 questions that I'm going to ask, and I'm going to allow them just to share and to express kind of what's the answers to these questions. I didn't ask you guys to say your name before you start, but if I could do that, that'd be good. And the first question was just, what is the hardest thing? So what's the hardest thing you experienced? It might have been something about going. It might not necessarily have been while they were down there. The second question was, what was the most significant thing that they've experienced? And the third one is, how has God changed them to live differently? And so naturally, I should probably answer first because I have the mic. And please feel free, you don't need to applause for me, but feel free to just cheer them on and just encourage them with your applause about what God's been doing in their lives. And the few people that we're missing too that we'll pray for at the end, as well as just Darcy and Hillary and Lindsay Stennett are away at a wedding this weekend. So for me, the hardest thing was engaging with the people. And this is probably a little bit of a unique thing. I find in Cold Lake, there's lots of people that come in and out. And the people that have lived here for a long time know that it's really tough to engage with new people because you just know that they're going to be moving. And I find, having been in Ecuador, this is my 4th time now, I found it really hard this time to engage with the people because I know I'm just going to be leaving. I know I might never see them again, or I might see different people, or maybe I'll see them in a year. But I found that I had to really push myself and let God give me the strength to say, okay, I need to engage with these people. I need to love them for the season, the 2-week season that I have to do so. And so I found that personally really tough. What was the most significant thing? I think for me, and was getting to be there with my wife, Chantel, but also hearing some of the call stuff about what God desires for us. We're both desiring and passionate about missions, and hopefully, I think, desiring at some point, we believe God's going to call us to go somewhere else, overseas, and serve him. And so we're waiting for that, and we got to confirm some stuff in our hearts while we were there, and that was exciting. How has God changed me to live differently? For me, this was just, he really showed me all the ways in which I serve myself in Canada. I get caught up in everything that's going on in my life, and I feel like I need to be the one. I need to do this, and I need to get this done, and this is a priority for me. And really, none of that has any kingdom impact. It doesn't grow the kingdom. It doesn't serve God. And so he just showed me some small ways which I need to kind of change how I spend my time and change the things I focus on to serve him, to build his kingdom, and just to glorify him. And so those are my things. They might not be as long. I'm a little bit long-winded, but here you go.
All right. Oh, my name is Chantel. The hardest thing for me was actually to say goodbye to the people that we came in contact with. We probably went into 5 or 6 different communities and had the privilege of meeting a lot of families and children, playing with them all day, and just knowing that you were going to only be with them for that day, that brief moment, and just praying to God that in that short time that you were actually able to show a little bit of his love and encourage them and just love on them, because they don't know what that is, right? And so it was hard to leave the next day just knowing that you might not see them, and so that was a bit challenging for me. And then also while interacting with them, the language barrier was, like, I got really good at sign language, trying to get them to color and stuff. But yeah, I think those were the hardest things for me. The most significant thing, I guess Kira covered the going to Ecuador, because we've talked about it while we were engaged. We talked about going overseas, and we were really seeking God for direction for our lives. And like you said, we got a little bit of that. But also, God showed me just how great he is. We see he's moving here in our church, in this community, and to be able to go there and see that he's working in the lives of the Ecuadorians and to worship alongside them, it was such a huge privilege and so refreshing. They were just as encouraging to be with them as we were, you know, in the brief time that we had to spend with them. And then how has God changed you to live differently? He just challenged me that I don't need to wait to go overseas to reach out to people, but that there is a lot of lost and hurting people in this area that we can reach out to. And he just showed me some practical things that we can do as a family and for myself, what we can do. And it was exciting. And also just, I think one of the things that every person receives when going on missions is just a heart of thankfulness. And just looking at the many blessings that we have here, just being reminded of that, to never take those things for granted. Thank
you. Okay, my name's Victoria. The hardest thing for me, and this might sound kind of weird, but the hardest thing for me was not having the time around, because the time isn't really anywhere there, and I didn't bring a watch. I didn't think to do that. But I left my phone at the house in Quito, and I didn't have a watch. I had to rely on other people. And we don't think about it because the time is around us everywhere. I mean, it's on our phones. It's in our cars. It's in stores, and it's at home. And that was really hard, especially since I wake up a lot. I woke up a lot at night there, and I always was wondering what time it was. And I never knew if I had to wake up soon because it was always dark, or if I had time to go back to sleep. So that was definitely one of the hardest things for me, even though it might be kind of not what you expect. But, yeah, no, and you couldn't count on the roosters either. They went off at probably 2 in the morning. So one of the most significant things was probably getting away from here, not having contact with my family and all my friends and my loved ones was hard, but God really showed me how to put into perspective what's important and what's not in life, and whether that's different relationships or friendships or just stuff that I don't need. When I got back, I just threw away almost half my clothes. I was like, I don't need these. But so that was one of the most significant things. And how he's changed me to live differently is I have a really strongly renewed appreciation for my family and friends. I might have taken them for granted a little bit before, but now my friends are all going off to university and I'm staying here, and God really showed me to how to value the friendships and value the time that I have with my loved ones and to really show them how much I care about them every day. So that's how God worked with me.
My name is Helen. This is my second trip, consecutive actually, to Ecuador. The hardest thing for me this year, I took that question literally, and that was the second night, first night in the jungle. We were in a small community, very remote, no amenities. We were sleeping on benches that were made of like three slats and then three on top, and they put two together, and we had like a 1-inch mat, and that was very hard for me. That was my worst night. The most significant thing for me, again, was the children and seeing their joy and their thankfulness for the very little things that we were able to do with them. And I was also very blessed this year by having witnessed several, probably three or four, church services over there. And God just was there, and it was such a neat thing to see, that no matter where you are, God is with you. And that brings me to the third question, which is, how is God working in your life through this experience? And that is, I don't know if maybe some of you don't know, but I'm retired. And sometimes that can make me feel a bit alone and isolated. And God has told me that I should step out and not stay by myself, and go out and help in my community more, and be a shining light for him here. So that's what I've learned.
I'm Roxanne. The hardest thing that I found was the language barrier. Kieran liked to put me on the spot. Get up in front of everybody, and I said, "Good evening. My name is..." My name is... Good evening. That's how it ended up. I still can't say it in Spanish. The hardest thing I found was that when you saw the children, you couldn't take them home with you. You couldn't give them your love all the time. Capes, did you hear me? Okay, the hardest thing I found was that we couldn't take the children home with us when we were done for the evening. The most significant thing in this experience was that you feel God's unconditional love, and we've never had a hug from a child until you've had a hug from a child in Ecuador. They just don't want to let go. That really hit me. How God has changed my life here. God has given me a gentler heart. Everyone has a story, rich or poor. Doesn't matter what condition we live in. We all need God's love. And we are all God's children.
Got so busy listening to Roxanne, I forgot to open my paper. When I was up here a few months ago saying all why I was going, I expressed a lot of fears of physical things that I was anxious about. I'm going to try not to cry. So you guys probably will think that was the hardest part for me. But actually, you'd be wrong, because I actually found the most difficult part of going was actually deciding to go. The physical things that you experience down there, whether it be the heat or the bathrooms or whatever you want to think about, are just like dealing with 40 below weather here or scraping your windshield or whatever we have to deal with here. It's just what you got to do. And you can just do it because these people are doing it every day, so why can't I, right? So that's how you approach it. So the actual deciding to go, to submitting myself to listening to what God asked me to do and what he wanted to be there was the challenge. And he'd asked me to be vulnerable and transparent and to be as he made me to be. Because he made me, he knew me, he knew what he wanted me to do. And so, and to humbly take his leadership and learn what he had for me to learn. Which brings you to the most significant part of what I experienced. And that was just interesting, living a week being me, not worrying about what I had to do or where I had to go or what was expected of me, because I just followed the instincts of my heart and my spirit and God's hand on my shoulder saying, do this or do that or say this or go there or did you see this person? You know, and that person needs a hug or whatever, right? Just going on by my gut, basically. And so I know that there was moments that I can look back at and go, you know what? God did that in that moment. I seen hope put into that person's eyes in that moment by what I did. And so, you know, it's fun, interesting, and humbling all at the same point to see yourself being used by God. But cool, and so in that way, has changed me, because I seen how God wants to love and express love by what I seen, right? And so I know that I have a tendency to before to question God in everything that I would, you know, I'd question him. Why? Do I have to? I don't think so. You know, those kind of arguments whenever things would happen. And so I want to live the way I lived that week, not questioning his ways and why he wanted me to do what he wanted me to do. And because I learned that it was very freeing, there was no stress, there was no worry, there was no anxiety. It was fun. I think I covered it. I can't actually read my paper.
Hi, I'm Chris. One of the hardest things I experienced was remembering not to flush the toilet paper. Then the other hardest part was the language barrier, for sure. I mean, I'd watch a kid stumble or trip over a ball or something like that, and my first thought would be, are you okay? But how do I say that? Luckily, I had my guitar, so I could use that as a way to communicate. You don't really need languages to communicate music, I don't think. A significant moment for me was it was at the end of one of the kids' programs. We were all cramming into the bus along with a few of the kids, and we had kind of, we're passing down the kids to people to hold on to. And I got this one girl, the coolest thing, she had no worries that this strange white guy was holding her. She just sat there and even laid back with abandonment. It was just, she didn't care that there's just this guy that seemed to show love and she was going to accept it no matter what. I just thought that was, like, really cool. That, and I wanted one. And the thing that God was showing me, I haven't really seen what he's shown me or how he's changing me right now. I mean, he could be doing something that I'm just not noticing yet. But what I did notice was he was changing or he was giving me ideas of how he wanted me to act and to show my love towards my future family, the kids and wife. And so.
Chris pulls out the tearjerker. That's very cool. So we're going to pray for the team. And the people that aren't here, Darcy, Hillary, and Lindsay, this is something I just thought of, but when you come back from a missions experience, people always ask you, oh, how was it? And you're like, I don't know how to answer that. Like, that's a really tough question to answer. It was good, and it was tough, and it was, like, it's a lot of things. Feel free to ask anybody that's gone on a missions experience some more, I guess, interesting questions. What was the most significant thing? What was hard for you? And really engage with them, and perhaps God will speak to you through them. And so just encourage you to do that. I'm going to pray for our team, and I think the band's going to come up. Are you? Oh, you're going to pray. Oh,
yeah.
Perfect. Awesome.
Sorry. I'm going to pray for the team, and I'm going to get you to stand while the band comes. Just something I personally want to thank you for. Some of you stood to say, we're going to pray, and the team felt totally supported. Mm-hmm. Many of you gave and financially went, you're going on our part, you're going on our behalf, here's, you know, some of my resources to do that. And this is our third year to be involved, and the news from Mark and Cheryl is good, that we, through participating in what God asks us to do, are seeing the gospel go forward there. And we're seeing lives changed here. And I just think it's awesome. And so I just want to thank you. We want to give thanks to God. We want to pray for the team. And then we want you to respond in singing praise to God for forever. He is faithful. So let me pray. Father, thank you that we have this privilege. And I thank you for these people that gave up holidays and time and money. And Lord, our team got together and they prayed. They got together and they learned. They got together and they planned. And then they went. And they offered themselves and their humble service to you. And we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for safety. Thank you that you showed up. Thank you that you used our humble effort even across the language and the miles, and that Mark and Cheryl and the church are there and they're caring for those people who experienced your love through our participation. And thank you that you're faithful to do some things in us. Lord, we just want to honor you today, and we want to visibly and verbally say you have been so gracious. And so as a congregation, we give thanks, we give praise to you, and now as we remember it was you, and we ascribe to you our song, our praise, would you be glorified in it? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can talk to them afterwards. Yeah. Okay. I need to explain something, and then we're going to move into another part of our service. So from now until January, and perhaps for the rest of time in our church, here's how we're going to approach Communion Sunday. A little while ago, God started talking to me, and he said, you know, this tacking it on to the end of the service doesn't really work, and I know that you have a great preaching plan, and I know that you like to preach through books of the Bible, but you need a chance for your people to hear stories about God at work. And so you are not going to want to miss any Communion Sundays for the next while. What you're going to find happen is you're going to come in and you're going to get reminded about an attribute of God, that he's faithful, that he's generous, that he's able, that he's a healer. And we're going to remember that and sing a little bit about that. And then you're going to hear a story of God at work. God at work in somebody's past, God at work in their life right now, the fact that God is still doing and touching lives. And so today you heard from the team, and you'll hear one other story about how God is busy as a healer, and he's busy as a sustainer. And then we're going to turn our attention to communion, and we're going to realign ourselves a little bit with who God is, what he's done, and how it is we approach him, because we get a little bit busy, don't we? We get a little bit on the run, and we're just going to slow down. We're going to read some scripture. We're going to remember God's love for us. And we're going to realign through the participation in communion. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to ask this question, what do I need to trust God with? And for some of you, it'll be for health. For some of you, it'll be for relationships. Here's me today. My daughter moves to Calgary. I drive a load of stuff down there this afternoon. And when I come back, she's not in my house. I need to remember that God is faithful, that he's able. And what's funny is parents that haven't been there are laughing at me. Parents that have been there are laughing at me. And parents that are there are reaching for a Kleenex. Yeah. So does that sound like a good plan?
Yes.
Yeah. Sheldon's just laughing at me. Yeah, you can't get them to respond, can you? Well, it's what God asked me to do, so I don't care. It's what we're going to do. So tough, that's what we're doing. So here's the other thing I need to ask you. If you have a story of God at work, if you've been asking him for something and he's healed you, you just in the night went, Lord, I can't deal with this anymore, and he touched your life, or you cast one of your cares upon him and you just left it with him and he looked after it and he's nudging you going, you need to tell your story, would you please email me, talk to me, connect with me? We want to pack these services with stories of what God's doing. And we know that he's working. And so please get a hold of me. Deal? All right. So December 21st, this past year, I'm at the radio station, and the news has come on that there's been a really bad head-on accident with a bunch of guys coming back from the oil field. And I stop and I say, God, whoever that is, please look after them. I do the announcement I'm doing on the radio. They're interviewing me for something. I forget what it was. And my phone's buzzing away in my pocket, and I pull it out, and it's my wife saying, get a hold of Lauren right away. And I find out that one of my elders, one of my friends, was driving the van that was in the accident, and that he's hurt very, very dearly. I come back to the church and say to Chris, get some people together to pray. And I take off for Bonnyville, where he's waiting to be put on the airplane and flown out. And the doctors, worrying about his ability to survive, allow me into the emergency room to put hands on and pray for my friend. And God was faithful. And he spared a life, and he answered prayer, and he's been at work healing. And yesterday, Kyler moved back to town to start work. He's here. Come on up. Yeah. It's good to see you. So Kyler's one of my elders, and he's part of our church. He serves in the youth ministry here, and anything else we can con him into doing. Kyler, tell us a little bit about where it's at, how God's been working, and what he's been teaching you.
Well, I shouldn't be this well after 8 months, that's for sure. I saw the doctor, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and he said, the way I'm looking right now, he said, I would guess that you're at least a year or a year and a half in, and it's been only 8 months, so it's pretty awesome. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, I feel ready to go back to work. I feel, you know, like I can do the basic things. I can get around, and I'm independent, so that's...
Can you cook yet?
No, that's so I'll work on that.
So you, if you wanted to feed him and hear the story, you could have him over. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. I'm not going to argue.
Kyler, you said last time we talked here that when you say to the doctors, how long should this take? They just look at you and go, no one's walking after an accident like this ever.
Well, he did say I would walk. So that's not completely true.
Okay,
but
yeah.
He didn't expect me to return to my current job with the injuries I sustained. So for after 8 months. And I told the doctor that, like, they expected at least a year until I returned to light duties or anything, you know, outside of sitting at home watching TV. But I told them, I said, I'm going to beat that. I'm going to be at work before a year. So,
awesome. And so yeah, you can cheer for him. That's okay. Great. So one thing that you want us to be praising God for as he's answered prayer, what's he doing in your heart?
He just showed me that anything's possible. I mean, I would have always thought that these things just happen to other people, but, you know, anything can happen, and it still seems surreal, but he's just showed me that nothing's too big, and even, you know, all the doctors are dumbfounded as to how, let alone I'm healed enough to go back to work after 8 months, but that I even survived in the first place. So, yeah, it's a pretty good reminder for me to know that, you know, he's capable of anything, and not just the big things, but the little things every day. So
awesome. Well, welcome home. Yeah. We're going to stand, and we're going to thank God for what he's done. So join us.
All right. It's good to see you.